Hey, welcome to this week's episode of The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Rouse and friends. That's right. I have a friend, Nancy Sarnoff, the Houston Chronicle real estate writer, will be with us. We'll talk about Nancy. We'll talk about real estate. We'll talk about real estate and Nancy. We'll talk about all those things. So I'm just so excited to have her. This is like having real estate Yoda. She knows all things about real estate. So DJ, hit that music, please.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place.
Hey, welcome back to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Rouse and friends. And I have a friend, I would call Nancy a friend, today. She is the Chronicle real estate writer, or Houston Chronicle real estate writer. For those, I know we have an international audience. Sometimes y'all don't know we're based out of Houston, Texas, the best city in the world, right? And so Nancy Sarnoff with the Houston Chronicle is with us. I was talking to her off camera, and I think we've known each other 8 to 9 years, somewhere
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
And so I am so excited. You don't understand. This is like real estate royalty in the city of Houston. Like, she goes up in front of people in big organizations like CCIM and does big, huge things. And then I did the mistake today. I asked her to come. And she said, "Oh, yeah, great, Kevin, I'll come." And I forgot to tell her that we were not only audio recording, we're video recording. So she's feeling some kind of way about that, but that's okay. we're going to be okay. So welcome, Nancy. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm doing great. I'm excited.
You know what? I'm excited because I want to go ahead and give true confessions up. So I was just a lowly young real estate broker. Had the HUD contract at the time. So if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard my HUD stories, or that's kind of the contract that put me on the real estate map. Mm-hmm. And I get this call from this young lady, and she said, "Hi, my name is Nancy. Doing something on foreclosures." And this is during the 2006-2007-8 debacle, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
"And I just want to ask you a couple of questions." And she doesn't know this. I don't know if you know this. But you did that article, did that feature on me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the foreclosures and HUD contract and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, all the the news stations started calling me, and I kind of, for about 3 or 4 years, became like the real estate guy for ABC 13.
Wow.
And just, so I all started with you.
Wow.
So
you owe me that.
Yes, yeah. I do. I bury myself. And I think I shouted you out one time on Facebook, like, y'all don't understand the power of information. Plus, my natural, I'm a teacher at heart,
mm-hmm.
right? So I always tell people on the podcast that, my calling is actually to be a teacher. I just happen to apply that in real estate, mm-hmm. and I teach at Prairie View. And so I have a kinship to you in that I always feel like your articles are teaching.
Hmm. Really nice.
That seems like what you're stating fact, but you're also kind of educating folks about that. So before I get to you, the Chronicle and real estate, I want to know about Nancy Sarnoff, the person.
Mm. Okay.
So background, give me the kind of the Reader's Digest version of, where you're from, where'd you go to school, you want to shout anybody out at your school, whatever the case may be, but kind of give me a background of you.
Okay. So I actually came to journalism a little bit later in my career.
Okay.
So I'll just start with that. But I've lived in Houston most of my life.
Okay.
I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
And we lived there until I was in middle school,
okay.
and we moved here to Houston,
mm-hmm.
and to the suburb of Kingwood.
Shout out Kingwood. Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Kingwood. It was a big place. It was a culture shock a little bit for me, but
coming from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just, I was in middle school, which is like the worst.
Just went through that with Madison, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the worst years probably.
Right.
I mean, they were for me, but stayed there, mm-hmm. and graduated from Kingwood High, and mm-hmm. then I ended up graduating from U of H.
Okay.
So I've been pretty much a Houston person, mm-hmm. my whole life, almost.
Mm-hmm. Were you a journalism major at U of H?
I was not.
Okay.
I was not. And like I said, it's something that came a little bit later. I was in the communication school,
mm-hmm.
and to be honest, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do after mm-hmm. graduating.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like telling that story because a lot of parents are concerned mm-hmm. about their kids when they
yes.
are in school or they're finishing school and they don't want,
mm-hmm.
they feel kind of lost and they don't yet know what they want to do. And I was definitely there. Like, mm-hmm. I had some odd jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I finally got into My first, I guess, professional job was at a company called Gulf Publishing, mm-hmm. and it was an oil and gas publisher. They published magazines,
okay.
and books and textbooks, and it's actually a real estate story too, because mm-hmm. their office was on Allen Parkway, and it mm-hmm. was an old, like, I think 1920s kind of Spanish Mediterranean style building, mm-hmm. really beautiful building on the outside, mm-hmm. and it was later torn down, and now there's a 30-story high rise there. But
I think I know where you're talking about. Yeah.
And so anyway, that was really my first kind of professional job, and I worked for one of the magazines, and after being there a few years and moving up a little bit, I kind of hit the top. All the editors and mm-hmm. everyone on the editorial staff were petroleum engineers, because it was a technical magazine. Mm-hmm. And so if I wanted to move ahead, I would have had to get my petroleum engineering degree, which I had no desire in doing.
Right.
And so,
right.
So that's when I looked elsewhere. I found a job at the Houston Business Journal, worked there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had to stop
there. For a bunch of years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then ended up at the Chronicle, and it's, you know.
How long have you been at the Chronicle?
So, about 12
okay.
years.
Okay.
Yeah, so a long time.
Right.
A lot of my
That's
peers,
a career for a millennial. That's
For sure, yeah. And it's just been, Houston's been a great place for me. And, you know, I've settled here, I have mm-hmm. family now. And so, and I've had, you know, some really good professional opportunities mm-hmm. and, So
let me ask you this, going back to, you said something, so I have a 15-year-old, y'all know, shout out Madison, love you.
Maddie.
And yeah, Maddie, exactly what we're talking about. Maddie, I know you have a child as well now, around mm-hmm. 7-8 years old. So my undergrad degree is computer science and computer engineering.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I sell real estate, and I do the Real Estate of Life podcast, of course. And I think it's critical just to spend a couple moments on that whole lost feeling.
Yeah.
So I was computer science, computer engineering. I was good at math and science. That allowed me to go to school for free on scholarships. But I always knew in my heart of hearts that what I was doing, because I came home working for Exxon Mobil,
okay.
or Exxon at the time, then became Exxon Mobil. But it never felt right.
Huh.
It was a good job.
Yeah.
Good benefits, the whole nine, kind of like what your parents tell you, you know, go find a good job and with good benefits, work for that job forever and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself trying to advise Madison because of the life choices I've made, and she has a little bit different familial situation from a resources standpoint, to try to figure it out so my question to you is, did your life from elementary, junior high, high school, and college ever give you clues as to what you're doing now? In other words, like, I loved talking, I loved doing speeches, you know, in college I was president of this, and I loved getting up in front of folks,
mm-hmm.
I loved interviewing folks, I loved coaching folks, so I look back now and say my life gave me clues as to what I like doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Did yours?
Yeah, that's a really thoughtful question.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things I would say, everyone says they were a shy kid or they're mm-hmm. shy, but I feel like that was part of it. And doing what I do, yes, you have to get in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, you've got to be really knowledgeable in what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to talk about yourself that much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're shy, kind of a shy person,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of a dream job, because
you don't have, right, you're,
it's not about you.
No, exactly.
It's not about you at all.
The person you're interviewing, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that, you know, I think that mm-hmm. was one of the things that I liked about it. And also one of the reasons I got into this was because of the people. And mm-hmm. when I was at the oil and gas magazine, I mm-hmm. met a bunch of journalists, and mm-hmm. they just kind of became my circle of friends. And I just loved
You found your tribe, as Tiffany Haddish would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh, she's
right.
so funny.
Right.
Well, she was here too.
Right.
I mean, no offense.
No, if she was here, I would be. Yeah, no. Tiffany, shout out to you. If we ever want to get on the Real
right,
Estate Life,
I know.
We're ready for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But just, you know, really liked their curiosity and
mm-hmm.
honesty
mm-hmm.
and just liked those, the qualities that they had. Plus, my older sister was a journalist.
Oh, okay.
And she was a broadcast journalist.
Okay.
And I always had looked up to her my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I think that had something to do with it, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was really great. And she's since gone on to a different career. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, at U of H, you say you were in communications. Were you doing kind of like just a general communications degree and got some of journalism, some of broadcast, some of this, some of
that?
So
I was, I got my degree was in radio and television in the communications school. And I have to admit, I was not a good student.
Okay.
I mean, I graduated college and I was fine, but I wasn't a great student.
Right.
I didn't really.
Not interested or just?
Yeah.
I guess why weren't you say you were a great student?
Yeah. I don't know. Just I always went to really big schools,
mm-hmm.
and unless you find something that you're really good at to do,
mm-hmm.
to focus on, mm-hmm. you're just kind of you're just sort of a number.
Another conversation we had, Madison, I did not set this up. She's saying this on her own. We have this conversation because we're a sophomore now.
Okay.
So we're starting to think about schools, big school, little school, all that kind of stuff. So,
And who knows? Like, if I would have gone to smaller schools, maybe I would have, you know, maybe I wouldn't have done better. I don't know. And I was fine. Like, I did fine.
You got out.
It was good. Right. But it was just, like, I didn't do internships.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really different story than a lot of my colleagues,
mm-hmm.
who a lot of journalists
they
know
knew
what
from
they
the beginning,
do.
And they, you know, they're school paper.
School paper. Right. Exactly.
Right.
And for me, it happened later. So,
But didn't it give you a different perspective when you're doing your job sometimes? Or has it given you a different perspective because you came, as some of my friends will say, you came sideways through the door, not through the front door?
Probably. It feels sort of like the fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Okay.
Like I'm this imposter. I can't believe I'm saying that. But you know, sometimes I feel like, how did I get so lucky to be in this position?
Right.
But that gives
you perspective.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
Right.
And once I realized that this is something that I wanted to try, and when I, you know, got some lucky breaks early on to
mm-hmm.
get jobs reporting,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I did pretty well and just put it was great. It was a great feeling to kind of feel like, all right, this is what I want to do.
Right. I found my tribe. I found my career,
and
now I'm able to maximize
mm-hmm.
And leverage
mm-hmm.
Leverage that. So this is called the real estate of life, and the reason it's called the real estate of life is that we talk real estate because that's what I'm known for.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really the life part is what I like the most. And sorry, y'all. If I know y'all log on sometimes to get real estate stuff, but so the motivation, the background. So the reason I like to ask people about themselves is everyone has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we share our stories, one, it humanizes us.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, there's somebody out there listening that's thinking, oh man, I'm, you know, an accountant right now. And I've always wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
And so she didn't go in, you know, the front door, as you say, as I'm saying, as far as like, you know, I was on a student paper and this, that, and the other,
right.
You know, someone out there might have a blog, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's doing something totally different
mm-hmm.
and that can turn into something. So I just think it's important for people to know, because I don't have a traditional background as far as real estate is concerned.
Right.
And so I get a lot, now that I'm out there talking to folks, like, man, you know, you did this and you were in corporate and now you're, you know, a real estate guy. And I just thank you for sharing your story, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't know I could go to it that way. So that's why I wanted to make sure that people, and I'm learning as well, know your story, because I remember you saying, I didn't come to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of normal.
Right, the traditional way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely did not expect to be talking about this today, but I'm happy to share it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, as I've gotten older and become a parent and just, you know, have friends with younger siblings
mm-hmm.
that might not be, you know, have a clear path
mm-hmm.
yet.
It's okay.
I feel like they're like, okay, well, Nancy turned out all right.
Right,
and, you know, she didn't, I mean, I really, I, It wasn't until like my mid-20s.
Do you know that you're kind of a, like a business celebrity? Do you get that?
Well, I've been doing this a long time, and right. So, did you know?
I mean, it's okay to say yeah or no, whatever, but you are kind of something like a big deal. You know, that's a compliment, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Well, the reason I say that is because I think about the power of media mm-hmm. and the fact that, I don't know what the circulation of the Chronicle is, especially with all the different changes of how, you know, the nerd in me kind of keeps up with your industry from afar. And I know your industry is changing, but the fact that you're on a regular basis and one, I would assume, one of the larger, newspapers in the United States means that your name is on an article, you know, every couple days or so, if nothing else for a blurb or a full article or something of that nature. And so people look to you for information. And so you're like Yoda, like the real estate Yoda.
That should be my new tagline. Right.
And I say that to say, considering you mentioned that you were shy. My daughter is shy, uber shy. She's not shy around us. Like, if she's comfortable with you, she's, you know, a crazy girl.
Right.
But if she doesn't know you, like, if she was sitting here right now, she would, you know, kind of just be, until she got to know Nancy, man, that might be four or five times before she finally let you see just a peek.
Yep.
And then it might be another four or five times. So I find it interesting that you are, consider yourself relatively shy, but you're like real estate Yoda, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you juxtapose though your natural? Because can I say that you're relatively introvert?
Yeah.
I mean, introverted, extrovert, maybe. You can be extroverted when you need to, but that's your natural space is introverted.
Yeah. Like if I'm at work I'm having a busy day, on the phone a lot, out interviewing people.
Right.
When I get home, I need quiet.
So my wife, shout out to Cher, love you, is introverted. Mm-hmm. So extroverts, I'm an extrovert. Uh-huh. I get my energy from people. So I get energy from this. My wife gets energy from quiet. And so she can do this for a little while, but then she has to go retreat to get her energy.
I'm the exact same way.
Got you. So Cher, you were right. No, I'm joking.
And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard because you're out doing your thing all day and then you come home and you're with your spouse and and your kid. And
they want to hey, what's going on? And you're
I just need
give me 5 minutes.
It's never really 5 minutes.
No, especially with a small child. No.
Right.
No, and if you go, a lot of people escape, at least I do, to the restroom, not necessarily use restroom, just to kind of close the door. Uh-huh. And then I remember when Madison was little, I would hear, I'm gonna do what Mr. Producer told me not to do. I'm gonna beat on the table. Daddy, and I'm like, give me my 5 minutes. You know, I'm saying that, I'm gonna say that to her. So how do you juxtapose your job of talking to people all day and interviewing people all day with your natural, desire to kind of be to yourself?
You know, it's changed as I've gotten older and been doing this longer. It's a little bit more. I'm a little bit more comfortable getting out and talking to anyone, whether it's man on the street kind of thing or a CEO of a company. Mm-hmm. So often in the past when I was younger, I would be psyching myself to go out on an interview or go to lunch with someone I hadn't met before and, you know, get out there. And, you know, all 9 times out of 10, I come back and I'm just like, wow, I learned so much. That was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So after doing that, after having those experiences time and time again, that you're always going to get something out of it.
Right.
And so most of the time.
So the curiosity helps. Curiosity helps. It can take you out. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. I started off getting to know kind of how you got to be Nancy Sardoff, Real Estate Yoda. Hashtag real estate Yoda out there. So tell me about your time as Houston Chronicle real estate. Did you start off doing real estate writing?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've had so many stories. Before I even knew you, I knew you because, again, I read the real estate stuff because I'm in the industry. What has been the biggest change you would think in your 12 years at the Chronicle as far as either the types of stories or, you know, what would you say, or is there a general theme as to how things have changed from the beginning, or is things pretty much the same as you began?
Well, so there's a few different ways to answer that question. Mm-hmm. From a business perspective, the newspaper has gone through lots of ups and downs, probably mm-hmm. more downs since I started, just mm-hmm. because of the internet mm-hmm. and
the interweb thing
that big thing, and which has taken a lot of our advertising dollars. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an expert on the business side, but mm-hmm. I do know that
the newsroom has changed.
It's gotten smaller, mm-hmm. even though the Houston Chronicle is actually a great place to work, because mm-hmm. it has grown. Like, it's mm-hmm. gone in fits and starts, but mm-hmm. We're owned by a private company, Hearst Corporation, mm-hmm. in New York, and so we don't have some of the same limitations and demands and struggles that a public company mm-hmm. would.
Right.
Or
shareholders, I need my dividend, my growth and stuff.
Yeah. So, but we still have been definitely subject to cutbacks, mm-hmm. and then just writing more for the website. And mm-hmm. now the Chronicle has two websites. Well, I have for a couple of years, and
Cron.com and HoustonChronicle.com.
Yeah, shout out. Great.
I'm a PSA. Lower subscriber. I'm just telling y'all. Cron.com and I think the difference is HoustonChronicle.com is more so like full form paper, and Cron is more bloggish. Is that
Cron.com is free. It's a free site, and
well, that's a big difference too. Yeah.
So it's got a lot of news, but mm-hmm. it also has a lot of entertainment mm-hmm. and more buzzy types of stories. HoustonChronicle.com is our subscriber site, mm-hmm. so you can subscribe to it. It mm-hmm. has all of our investigations, mm-hmm. all of our hard news.
Mm-hmm. Long form articles.
Yep,
right.
Yep. It's got podcasts. Mm-hmm. That's where they live.
Pause. Speaking of podcasts, aren't you on a podcast?
Let's talk
about that real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, tell
me about the podcast.
I was actually going to say one of the changes at the papers is, now that we're all kind of having to do more multimedia. Mm-hmm. stories and tell our
everybody
stories.
Everybody is. The sports yeah. guys. I noticed oh, yeah. that. It's like yeah. across the board.
Across yeah. the board. Tell yeah. our stories in different ways. And I was lucky enough to start 2 years ago doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called Looped In. Mm-hmm. And it's a Houston Chronicle podcast. I started it with my colleague, Aaron Mulvaney, who was covering real estate at the time. Mm-hmm. We just, we were very friendly. We had we thought we had a really good rapport.
Yeah, I do.
Made
I've listened
each other
to him.
Laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we started this podcast called Looped In, where mm-hmm. we sat down and we talked about stories mm-hmm. and we talked about characters in Houston real estate and the things we were working on and mm-hmm. the controversies, and we would bring people in to mm-hmm. interview. And it was a pretty fun mm-hmm. thing that we started to do, and it started to get some good traction and a lot of listeners. She has since taken a job, but she relocated to Washington, D.C., so she's not doing it with me anymore,
okay.
unfortunately. So I record with other folks,
okay.
or I'll just
the
do
latest
it solo.
Episode you were with the Wreck-It Ralph. You had a colleague, I forgot his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, Alan West.
Alan West. Yeah
he's
okay.
someone that comes on and kind of helps co-host
gotcha.
With me
gotcha.
On occasion. And yeah, the Wreck-It Ralph thing that was funny, because I don't know if you, I'm sure you know that movie, right?
Oh, if you have a child, you almost have to.
Right,
have
right.
right, so
because
yes,
I was
I
talking to people, and I was like, can I use that in the headline? Can I use that in the story? And they're like, I don't know what that means. I was like, I used it a little bit.
So it probably depended on the age of their child.
Right.
If they had children.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
right. But it's still pretty big.
It's,
like
it's
Pixar,
it's a
Disney.
Big thing. Yeah, yeah
big movie.
A big thing.
And they're doing a sequel? Did you know that?
I did not know this.
Yeah.
So Madison's gotten to the teen movie thing, so uh-huh. I'm losing my small, my
oh,
child career.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But I still would probably go see it, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's called Ralph Breaks the Internet. Seriously. Seriously. So, yeah. So
Mr. Producer just gave a thumbs up. That is correct.
Yeah.
He has a daughter as well, around
okay, so
9, 10 years old.
He'll be
so,
seeing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. exactly.
But, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The person we just interviewed, this the Wreck-It Ralph guy,
right.
is a guy from Cherry mm-hmm. Companies, the big demolition and moving.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they raised a house for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's been in the demo business for years, so I called him the real life Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. But yeah, so we are going on 2 years now with the podcast. We just hit 100,000 downloads, so
wow.
That was really exciting.
Mr. Producer, we need to get with Nancy because we're not at 100,000. We're at a percentage of that, and we don't need to talk about percentages, but we definitely want to get to that. So this multimedia, you know what we're going to do? This is what I'm going to do. This is going to be a two-part podcast. We're just going to do a two-part podcast. So I'm about to ask Nancy what are some of maybe her top three real estate juicy stories that she's covered over her 12 years. In order for you to hear that, you're going to have to listen to part two of my interview with Nancy Sarnoff. So this is The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles and friends. My friend this week was Nancy Sarnoff. I will see you next week. Hey, thanks for listening as always. Do you have questions about any of the topics I'm talking about? If you have questions, let me know. Email me at kevin@kevinriles.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com. I'm going to do a podcast just on the questions that you guys are sending to me. So feel free to send them to me. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com.